Beloved congregation, today, especially this morning, we are called to celebrate the supper of our Lord. We may also use different language and say we are called to show forth the death of the Lord. In order to do so in a right way, we must know something of what it is that we of ourselves lie in the midst of death. And we must seek our life outside of ourselves in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's one way of putting it. We could also put it another way and say, in order to rightly celebrate the supper of the Lord, we must know of three things, as our form for the Lord's Supper brings out so very correctly. First of all, we must know something of what it is to humble ourselves before God on account of our sins, and consider that the wrath of God is a righteous wrath, and that that wrath against us for our sin's sake is such that he cannot leave it unpunished. That's the first thing. And the second thing is we must know something of what it is to believe in the love of God, whereby God forgives sinners and caused his Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer and to die. That's the second thing. We must know something of that. And the third thing that we also must know something of is we must have a sincere desire in us to die to sin and to live for the Lord in all righteousness. Anyone who knows something of these three things or to come to the table of the Lord. And those who don't know anything of these things should not come to the table of the Lord. But those who do know something of these things are called to draw near to the Good Shepherd. And in the word of our text, he leads us by the quiet streams, for us quiet streams, not for him. And he causes us to see this morning the death of the Son of the Father. That's how I formulated the theme, the death of the Son of the Father. And we'll consider briefly the way in which he died. And then secondly, the purpose for which he died. And then at the table, we'll pick up some of the parts that I will leave out in my message. And it's a very full text. I have a sermon at home. I think it covers 40 pages by one of the divines. It was a lecture given somewhere. There is much more than you will hear this morning, but let it be something to lead you, to draw you. The death of the Son of the Father. Every time we read the scriptures about the suffering Savior, we run a great danger, congregation. We run specifically this danger, that we see him then only suffering, only smitten, only passive. And that's a one-sided view. We leave out something. Because the Lord was also active as he was under the judgment of God and men. He did something as he suffered under the judgment of God and man. What did he do? He suffered. Our text speaks about it. He says, I lay down my life that I might take it again. Let's consider these words. Spoken in John chapter 10, in which the Lord Jesus Christ reveals himself as the Good Shepherd. But when here he reveals himself as the Good Shepherd, it becomes clear that he is much more than a mere man. He says things that a man cannot rightly say, that a man cannot say. Not rightly. He doesn't have the power to say it. But from everything in our text, it appears that Jesus is the Son of God, being of one substance with the Father. That's how we confess him in our Nicene Creed. The Son of God who became man, continued to be God, but became man, like unto us in all things, sin excepted. I lay down my life, Jesus says. A human being cannot truly say that, and may not say that. He cannot say it because he has no authority to say it. He has no authority over his life. And a human being cannot truly say it because a human being is able to kill his life. But he does not have the power to lay it down and then lay it into the hands of God, the Father. But Jesus was able to say it. He was allowed to say it. I lay down my life. I have the power to do so. I have the authority to do so. Because, as I said, he was more and is more than just a man. He is the Son of God, the Father. The Son. The Word, of whom we read in chapter 1. All things were made by him. He holds life in his hand. He has authority over life, also over human life. What an amazing thought. He has power to lay it down at a moment that pleases him. Whenever we read of the Savior in the Scriptures suffering, we should never lose sight of the fact that he is at the same time the Son of God. And to him, even though he laid down his glory, to him there was heavenly majesty. In his deepest suffering, he ever was the Son of God. That implies various things, among other things. This, the people sought to kill him. Their enmity against him was so great, they wanted to take his life, as long as he did not allow them to. They could not take his life. His power prevented them from doing anything until he would allow them to do so. And that did happen. They apprehended him. They crucified him on Golgotha. But they could do that because in that way he laid down his life. They could arrest him because he gave his hands to be bound. They could crucify him because he gave his hands to be nailed and his feet, because in that way he would lay down his life. That as far as men were concerned. What about God? We read in the Old Testament Scriptures in Zechariah chapter 13 that God would smite the shepherd. That's here the Lord Jesus then. The Heavenly Father would smite the shepherd. But even the Heavenly Father could not smite the shepherd unless the shepherd, the Son, would give himself to be smitten. Even God the Father could not slay him unless he lay down his life and gave his life. He was and continued to be the Son of God of the same substance with the Father, God of God, light of light, very God of very God. And let us not lose sight of it as we see him suffering, congregation. And let us give him the honor due unto him. The miracle of his suffering and of his death, the miracle of the redemption that he accomplished, becomes the greater to God's people by it. It was the will of this Son of God to lay down his life. It pleased him to do so. Men did not need to wrest it from him. He gave himself willingly, voluntarily. It was his will to be smitten by God. He gave himself to the smiting hand of God. He placed himself willingly under the wrath of God due to our sins. He gave himself a voluntary sacrifice to God. Behold, the Good Shepherd wanted to take his life and lay it down in order to spare the sheep forevermore. Meditate on these things, congregation, as in a little while the call will go forth. Come, for all things are ready at the table of the Lord. And then when you will sit here at the table a little later and you see the bread broken before your eyes and the wine poured out before your eyes, behold then in those signs the Good Shepherd who gave his life for his sheep. And he was pleased to do so, to deliver himself, to die the death they deserved, eternal death. He gave himself to be crucified in our place as the Good Shepherd, bearing our judgment, the condemnation in our place. Behold, of let this Good Shepherd something else considered that age he gave to the death, but also the purpose for which he gave himself. I lay down my life that I might take it again. So the Lord did not merely give himself up. He didn't merely allow himself to be crucified and for his life to be taken. He had a specific end in view, a specific purpose. He did lay down his life indeed, but in order that at the appointed time he might take it again. The life that he had led. Father, I really don't want to take greed in the counsel of redemption, but that I may take it again, in order that I may redeem my sheep, those whom thou hast given to me. And that eternal counsel of redemption, that plan of salvation from eternity, he had ever before his eyes, and had his full consent, and therefore he received the commandments, so that by laying down his life and taking it again, he would render obedience to his Father. The obedience whereby he would atone for the disobedience of his people and obtain for them a new obedience, full redemption. And his Father, that's how the counsel of redemption was agreed on, congregation. The Father complied with that agreement. The Lord Jesus laid down his life. But today, Jesus is not a dead Jesus whose body continued to be in the grave. At the appointed time of the Father, he took it again. He laid it down in order that he might take it again with glory. He laid down a humiliated body. He took it again in exaltation. He laid down his life under the wrath of God. He took it again under the peace of God. His death was a death. A one-time death. And He took it again forevermore. That's why the Father loves Him, Jesus says. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I, as His Son, the Good Shepherd, you may also say Lamb, take down to take away the world, people, by my sin. Therefore doth my Father use the atonement of sins of His people and obtain life for His sheep. So you hear those words, atonement, satisfaction for their sins, and life, that they might be delivered from death, a spiritual death, a physical death, an eternal death. And secondly, that I might take it again, in order that I might apply the life that I shall take again and that He has taken again, that I may apportion it to my sheep. You see, the Lord Jesus wanted to lay down His life but not remain in death. He wanted to lay down His life in order to accomplish God's redemption. He wanted to rise, to apply the redemption and work it out. And that's the gospel, is it not? That the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, Son of Man, laid down His life. He took it again. And now He is at the right hand of God. And from heaven, He says, I will be with you at my table through my word, through my spirit. And I am calling your attention, He says this morning, to my death. I'm calling you to partake of the fruit of my death. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit, who takes it out of Christ and declares it to the hearts of His people. He causes them to see what a good shepherd He has. They have. And then they may live out of this good shepherd. He grants life unto their soul. And then they praise Him. Therefore doth the Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. That care of the shepherd, the Son, for the sheep, the Father esteems so highly that He loves His Son. And He also loves those for whom Christ did this. And those beloved sheep are the children of the Father. Therefore doth my Father love me, Jesus says. May I ask you, do you love the Father for the sake of Jesus? And do you love the Lord Jesus? That is a requirement. And you must be able to say that before the face of God. Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Love is a mark of the sheep. And maybe you say, I can't say that. I can say I have a need of this shepherd. Is there no love for Him? Is there then no desire to be close to Him? To have communion with Him? And more communion with Him? Are you willing to let yourself be saved by this good shepherd, who was willing to lay down His life? No one forced Him to do it. Therefore doth my Father love me, he says. He authorized me to do this, to satisfy for sins. There is reconciliation. In him alone, congregation. And by virtue of the commandment of the Father that the Lord Jesus is speaking about here, the counsel of redemption is revealed in Christ and not apart from Christ. And anyone who does not know this need for him, this desire for his communion, should keep himself from the table of the Lord. But he or she who knows his or her need and desires his communion, come, for the feast is spread. The crucified one lives. He feeds with good the hungry soul and satisfies the meek. And they shall live and praise the Lord who for his mercy seek. He feeds with himself. He feeds with hunger for him. He feeds with humility. He feeds with faith in him and the desire for him. Oh, that I might live and live out of thee. Jesus lives. He proclaims his salvation. Oh, let us hear his voice. He is here this morning, congregation, in the signs and the seals of his broken body and shed blood. What is your response? A prayer? Draw me with fresh anointing, O Savior, by thy word and spirit. Amen. May it be so. Amen. Beloved brothers and sisters, therefore doth my Father love me. As you think of that one little line in the scriptures, and you think also of God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, how do you understand that? We know that there is a love of God, of the Father to the Son, to the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Spirit to the Son, to the Father, of the Son to the Father, to the Holy Spirit. That's the love within the Holy Trinity. That's a love, when you begin to think of that, that's so incomprehensible, I have no words for it. We read the scriptures. We think of it. What was it? What was it? A perfect love. A love from eternity. And yet, while we then must say we cannot comprehend it, at the same time, from that love is the blessing for you and me. From that love is life for you and me. But how is that to be understood here when Jesus says, therefore doth my Father love me? Because, that's the reason, that I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power, authority, to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. The Father loves the Son, here particularly in regard to obedience. As you read in Philippians chapter 1, that he was in the form of God, and he did not count that a robbery to be equal with God, but he laid down his glory, and he became obedient unto death. That was the depth of his humiliation. But his obedience did not stop there. His obedience also was unto resurrection. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life. I go and make the satisfaction for the sins of those whom thou hast given me. But that is not only that then I shall lay down my life, but also that I shall be raised. And what I shall raise then is not merely life for myself, but for my sheep. And that's the thought. The Father loves the Son for his obedience unto death, suffering death, resurrection. Because the Father desires those sheep to be washed and to be raised to newness of life. That's the love of the Father. We've had several times the Lord's Supper with the love of the Savior. That's this too. But the focus here is on the love of the Father. Meditate on these things, brothers and sisters. Meditate, not only philosophically, but read the Scriptures. And take these words with you in your heart. In your heart. And what do you have then? Then the sheep says, "The Lord's my shepherd. I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green." We eat, we drink, we meditate. Do you do that too? We meditate. Therefore doth my Father love me. You can think of, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased at his baptism. You can think of the same words at the Mount of Transfiguration, where he was about to go to Calvary. This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. Command. And here we also read of a command. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. The willingness. A willing Savior. But then notice, I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And there is something very beautiful. If you read it in the original Greek, then it says, I have received a commandment of my Father. You will remember that Adam also received the commandment. And he broke it. And he died. Jesus received the commandment of his Father. And if you read, for instance, in Romans, then you will find, I think it is in Romans 7, that the Apostle Paul says, "And the commandment which was ordained to life." Now Christ received the commandment, and the commandment was, you have the authority, the power to lay down your life. And you may take it again. Isn't that profound? Adam had the commandment not to eat from the tree. All the others he was allowed. His disobedience brought death. Here's the second Adam. And he has a commandment which was ordained unto life. But it meant that he had to lay down his life. But he might take it again. And the remarkable thing is that that word, that verb, take it again, is the same word as have I received of my Father. Same word. I've received the commandment of my Father. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it. That's the same word. It again. And I'll take it one step further. John chapter 1. Very familiar words. He came to his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him. It's the same verb. As many as have taken him. To them gave he power, authority, to be called the children of God. No, I will not say any more. That is so profound. Try to remember that. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life in your place, my place, that I may take it again. Take what again? Life. Sinless life. Redeemed life. Glorified life. Take it. This commandment. See how obedient he is? Have I received of my Father? And then those who receive him receive authority to be called not merely sheep, but sons of God. I have no more words. Meditate on these words. And live as the children of God through this Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We hear only for a little while, brothers and sisters, at the table, that is. Do spend some time just thinking about it today. There's so much more. Even just in these words, or in the context of these words. You can think, I'll just give a couple of hints, you can think of, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again, to give it to his people. And you read of that in Isaiah 53, that very beautiful passage where you have, he shall see his seed, that he may take it again. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. That he might take it again to justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. You can also think in terms of, I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. But he also says a little earlier in this same chapter, we didn't read that this morning, that he is the door. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. He leads his people through life. But there is one more thing that I'd like to call your attention to at this table. And that is, there's going to be a day that you will leave this life. There's going to be a day when you leave this life. You may not take your life. Right? We may not take our life. But we have to also lay down our life. But we may not take it ourselves. He took it. He took it again. And our Christian, looking to this shepherd, he can say, when the moment of his death comes, and we don't all know that, he can say, for me to live is Christ. Philippians 1. And to die is gain. If I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. I'm in a strait betwixt to having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, And yet the day comes for a Christian that he has to lay down his life. And I repeat, we may not take it ourselves. We may not in that moment either say, oh, got to have the doctor. Prolong it 12 hours. No, there comes a time that he calls. And then how do we go? We go to the Father through the Son. And we can say, Lord, I'm not taking my life. I'm resting my head as I must leave now on this Good Shepherd who paid for my sins in order that he might take his life and present me faultless before the presence of his glory. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to my Savior I cling. That's how I live. That's how I die. Will you? That's how we may practice it in life. And one day lay it down for Jesus' sake. Amen.